Go to 2 John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Second John back there. Where in Alpha?
It's right before Revelation.
If we got the same Bible. Yeah, I got it. Thanks, God. Thanks, Barb.
2 John, verse 7.
For many.
What chapter?
It's like about two paragraphs, okay? Have we ever read from 2 John?
World. Who?
Is everybody there?
No.
Yeah. Oh, I'm here.
Well, go back to verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Verse 7 is the key. Many deceivers. The word many in the Greek means almost all. If you believe the rest of Paul's writings, Paul's writings about this subject, you will see that that deception was predicted to increase logarithmically from this time forward. You understand? There was a lot of deception at the time of Christ and the apostles, but it was predicted to increase logarithmically. If you put a logarithmic scale to the population of then versus now, you would see how clear that almost all are walking in deception is. How many people in your life do you know that would confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? How many people in here would you know that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? There's several of you that would like to be able to confess that, but you can't because you're too consumed with your own sensory perception and sensory desires. To confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh means it's over. Now, it not only talks about these deceivers, it says, receive not him, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Do you realize how rare the understanding of the mystery of God is in the universe? How rare it is in your world, in your universe? How rare it is in here? Do you realize how incredibly important that some of the people in your life would, how excited they would be if they knew this? I've been spending a lot of time lately trying to be Paul or John or Peter in my mind. Not me being back then, but they being here now. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. I would ask you, what would Paul or Peter or John do about those deceivers? We may be crossing over something. I kind of feel like we're doing it with this interview next weekend. Do all of you know what's happening?
No, John doesn't, because he hasn't been here.
There's a crew from CNBC, which is the cable news channel, the cable news division of NBC, that's coming in from back east to interview us. I'm just destroyed, blown away by the idea that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh tonight in you. That your warfare, our warfare, my warfare, is completely and totally accomplished. That in a simple state of quietness and in confidence you shall be saved. The fullness of what that means is awesome. Everything in the universe is against that revelation. But once it's certain, once that word has become flesh in you, Katie, bar the door. It's finished. Your warfare is over. It's done. The concerns that you have about yourself are over. It's done. The concerns that you have about those around you are over. It's done. It's finished. The concerns you have about careers or future are over. It's done. It's finished. The stuff that you're still controlled by in your past, it's done, it's finished. A new day has come. A new world has broken in upon us. Jesus Christ is come in your flesh. Tonight. He's not going to get any better. Things aren't going to get any better in your little life. The fullness of the Godhead is dwelling bodily tonight. If you'd open your eyes, what can stand against it? Now think in your world, in your surroundings. How many people are striving for vanity? How many people do you know? How many people have you seen? They're all striving for wind. Running after vanity. Think about it. There are many deceivers that have entered into the world. All of your impulses around you tonight are deceivers. All of the things that say that I need thus and so and this and that are deceivers. And in the very real sense, all of those things are keeping you from praising God. No matter how good you think they might be, they are deceiving you and preventing you from doing that which you were created to do, namely praise Him that created you in knowledge. Many deceivers are entered into the world. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Everything in your life for which you anticipate that something might happen tomorrow, it's as though a leech were sucking the blood from Jesus Christ. You understand that? For he, if there any come unto you, any idea, any thought, any perception, any person that does not bring this doctrine, receive him or it not into your being, neither bid it Godspeed. Else you be a partaker of that deception. Now, how many things are coming into your life tonight that declare that it isn't finished, that something else needs to be done? Receive it not into your temple, neither bid it Godspeed under any cost, elsewise you be a partaker of that evil. This is the only way you can live, folks. Do you understand? Whatsoever there is in your life that does not meet the demands of that doctrine, receive it not into your temple, neither bid it Godspeed. How can you bid it, but don't pray about it? Everything is a lie that does not define it is finished tonight. Who are you talking to? Who are you listening? Who are the voices that you pay attention to in your life? Who do you hear? You hear that yapping lapdog back here? Why do you hear it? Do you hear that those parents that are yapping at you to be different than you are? Do you hear your loved ones that are yapping at you to be different than you are? Do you hear the value systems of the world calling onto you as though what's the Greek myth, the guy, the siren, that's calling to you to take your eyes off the prize? The thing that you don't see is that the smallest detour from the eye on the prize is apostasy. And then you go off into apostasy, and then about 15 days later you say, oh shit, but your shit is so confused that you don't even know what the problem is. The problem is you took your eye off the prize. And you've given all the land back to the enemy. Every inch. So you have to crucify Christ afresh to get back into the... Well, God gets pissed off after a while. How many times are you going to crucify him? Well, Ole, you just don't understand my position. If you knew my battles, then you'd understand. Believe me, I know your battles. I understand your position. I understand your evil. Because I am. He that believeth not this doctrine, receive him not into your temple, nor bid him Godspeed. That's pretty clear, right? Is there any doubt? What is it in your life that you think needs correcting? That you think needs assistance, that you think needs some addition to it. That is the lie from the depth of hell. Receive it not into your house, nor bid it Godspeed. It might as well be a demon from hell. You understand? In fact, I wished it were a demon, and you could at least see it then and be afraid of it. Instead of your innocent little ideas and thoughts and these little things in you that pull you aside, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your temple, neither bid him Godspeed. A thought? A person, a relative, a loved one. A liked one. Receive him not into your temple, nor bid him Godspeed. Is anybody doesn't understand?
What's Godspeed?
Go with God, or... have a safe journey, or fare thee well, or I wish the best for you. Have a good life. Have a nice day. Smile. What? Yeah. Go on with God. Bye-ya.
Oh, cute.
It's the sort of greeting of the pardon that you give somebody that you were a host to.
For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And that's pretty clear. Go over to 1 John. Just turn the page. 1 John chapter 4. And don't you see, if you don't do this, then you will be in a constant state of angst and deception. You could be so sincere. I love your sincerity. I've been dealing a lot the last few days. Everybody wants to meet with me the last 3 or 4 days. Not necessarily in this group, but in other groups.
They haven't awakened.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Matt and Jackie were part of the number.
Did it go well with you?
Yes,
it did.
We were among the Malines.
Beloved, believe not every spirit or teacher or thought or that which is bringing you information. 1 John 4:1. But try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That defines truth. That defines life. That defines what you give importance to. You test. You test. You test. You test. You test. Until you have seen which and what confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. If it's a person, if it's a thing, if it's an idea, if it's a relative, if it's a spirit allegedly from God himself that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then you test it. He fails the test. Then you do what it says in the second epistle of John. Don't truck with any of it. It doesn't matter what it is. Do you understand? You don't have any more excuse. The moment you said amen to me, you lost your ability to have an excuse. You have no more excuse to believe your thoughts. You know what that means? It means that you never again have a reason or an excuse to be depressed. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, you've just dismissed all the false deceivers that say that it's something less than Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You understand me? You have no more excuse to be out of the way, because now it is a time, it's a time to be without excuse. That's a biggie. Do you understand me? Can everybody here say amen?
Amen.
Can everybody here say amen? You have... Did everybody say amen? Did you monitor him? We need a monitor. We need an amen monitor. Now, that means you are without excuse if you're out of sorts. It's the only way you're going to be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. You have to fake this mind out. And you fake it out in God's, in the economy of God, by amening. You know that? How many times have you been faked out by the amens? Huh? Your own amens become a witness against you.
That just sounded funny. Sorry.
Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, you got to hear this once and for all. Anti is not a translation. It's a transliteration. It doesn't mean against. It means instead of. Everything in your mind is trying to be instead of Christ. Every one of your emotions are trying to be instead of Christ. Every friend, every person in your life is trying to be instead of Christ and trying to get you to move in that direction. Every aspect of your work, your career, is trying to be instead of Christ, anti-Christ. Understand me? Is there anyone that doubts that this is the Antichrist? Not me, you, all of us, our minds. Thank you. Of him that hath wisdom, number it, for it is the number of man, and the number is 666. It's the number of all men in ancient numerology. 7 being at rest, 666 being as close you can get, never being at rest, never making it. Do you know how many people in the universe know that that's what that 666 means? Do you know how many people in the universe know who's the Antichrist? There are people building humongous computers and doing great studies about the European common market trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. All I have to do is look in the mirror. There are whole denominations deceiving millions upon millions of people, especially these idiots on television, because all of them have the same common denominator. The common denominator is they're waiting for the Antichrist to come. They used to teach it was Nero, and then it was, in various times, it was Hitler, it was Charlemagne.
He wears a red suit.
It was Henry Kissinger back in the 70s.
Ronald Reagan.
It was Ronald Reagan, it was John Kennedy, it was all these idiots.
But I just think it's odd that people think you're crazy when you say that. I mean, that you think it's in you. Start saying all these scriptures.
Go to Romans 13. I'll go to Revelation. I'll show you where they get it.
Revelation.
Chapter 13, verse 15.
Chapter 13, 15.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now the mark is the earning a living and cause and effect. You understand it? I mean, it's the mark. If you, and it says it in Ezekiel 9. It's not. I mean, we're not going to get tattooed. The mark is the evidence of how you conduct your life. You conduct your life with your right hand as if you had to work for a living. You think in terms of right and wrong, cause and effect. That no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let he that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. The word a there is not in the scriptures. It's the number of man, and his number is 666. That's 666. If you could go...
Why is that there, that a there?
Huh? Because it's the way it was translated. It means that. It's the number of a man. A man is you or I. But in our language now, that's the way it was back at the King James time. Now, when it says a man, it puts your up. If it said the man, then it would mean the unique one, because it had the definitive article. And in Greek, the means that it has to be, it calls attention to the one, the only, the unique. But if it's a or without the a, then it means that it's common, it's all. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Right. Timothy, 2 Timothy.
What's the name?
New Testament.
New Testament.
Before he.
First or second?
I'll tell you what, let's do it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. It's right by it. It's right by it. Right. What are the five T's? It's Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Titus. But she's good. 2nd Thessalonians chapter 2.
Any moment yet.
Now we beseech you, brethren, is everybody there? By the mercies, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word coming is the word parousa. It means the presence. And our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by the letter, as of from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, that it's coming soon. Let no man deceive you, and by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the man of sin that has to be revealed, the son of perdition that has to be revealed, is you. The day can't come until you first see that you're the son of perdition. Do you understand? Otherwise, you're going to be looking for it all over the place. They've been doing that for 2,000 years.
I never saw before, too, that in the individual, there has to come a falling away for that to be seen.
That the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. That's what you do. Every time you judge for yourself good and evil, you will put yourself above God, because the judging of what is right or wrong, good or evil, is God's business. When you take your life into control, your life into your hands, you try to control it. What am I going to do about this or that? You exalt your own divinity above God. Can you understand that? So you're opposing and exalting yourself above all that is called God. That's you. Or that is worship, so that as God, that so that you, or he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what you do. Throughout the scriptures, you're defined as the temple. But you sit in the temple as God, because you judge for yourself good and evil. You really understand this? This is big. You may be the only people on the face of the earth that hear this. Everybody else is looking for someone else. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming or presence. That's what happens. The word destroys the wicked one when he's seen. When you're looking for the wicked one somewhere else, then the word of God can have no power in you. Do you understand that? As long as you are looking for the wicked one to be somewhere else, then these words, they will bounce off you and go somewhere else, and you'll believe in dispensation, and this was for that person, and this was for that time. But once you see that you are the wicked one, then the Lord will consume you with the brightness of his presence, with the sword of the word of his mouth. That's what preaching is. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. What it says is believe the lie. The lie is that you're separate from God and you have to take action to protect yourself. That's the lie. That's the issue by which he has deceived the whole world. And the fruit of that lie is separateness. And so you have to struggle and try to be together and try to be separate and play all these stupid psychological and Landers games. And you call it love. It's really grasping. Because you believe the lie. God sends you a strong delusion that you should believe a lie. They all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. But if you see it, it's black and white, it's simple. But there are whole denominations that are looking for this to take place in Israel. There are people, there's a foundation in Washington, D.C. that has raised something already over $100 million to rebuild a temple. It's a Christian foundation. There's another one in Houston that's raised almost an equal amount, $77 million thus far. They're sending out money to all these Christian organizations and individuals to raise the billions of dollars necessary to rebuild the temple so Jesus can come. How dumb fucks. I mean, do you realize how many... Do you realize this? I mean, you hear what I'm talking about?
See the crier laughing his ass off.
Before tonight, this scripture in particular right here really frightened me. And tonight, here it is. It's not frightening. It's relief.
Well, that's what. Let's read the rest of it. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Not stand fast looking for some little stupid plan to take place, but stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, good word and work. Don't you see? When I had that experience in Vienna, when I saw that sword that allegedly had pierced the side of Christ, I saw millions upon millions upon millions of people all struggling, going up mountains, two churches, in and out, trying to get it right, trying to do the right thing, and their attempts to try to do the right thing, their attempts at sincerity, their attempts at being truth seekers. God is laughing at them because they've been deceived. Do you know how boring a truth seeker is to God? Just think about it. These stupid women. I mean, I remember, I went through that when I was in... But, no, I mean, well, that was right after. It was up at Greenwich Village in the Beatnik era. You sit around and have these great discussions about what is truth and how we are really neat people because we're all truth seekers. Mm-hmm. So they still are doing it down... They're still doing it down there at Deep Elm. Truth seekers, isn't that a night? Nice. I don't want to be a truth. I don't want to be a fucking truth seeker.
Truth apprehender.
Now, the finishedness is what we're talking about tonight. You must bring every thought into captivity to that obedience, that it's finished. You need nothing else. And everything that you think you need is only that which is causing you deception. It's a teacher that's coming at you that says he is not come in the flesh. You understand me? It says, though we or an angel from God or any other messenger bring any other news to you, let him be accursed. This is the gospel. It's not all that bullshit you hear on the radio. The gospel is Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It's finished. So simple, yet so rare. Please, please, please be anchored in this and slay with the word of his power from your own mouth anything in here that gives you another testimony. You know, please, please, can you imagine how neat it would be that you would no longer say, oh my God, praise, I really saw something yesterday. Can you see how neat it would be if, okay, God, I'm really bad because there was a moment 2 days ago when I didn't see something. God wants us to walk in revelation. We see Christ as all and in all. What do we need? Nothing. Except each other.
Amen.
Take it, big guy.